The next day, Admiral Serrano hosted the farewell gathering. Esme wore one of her new dress uniforms, astonished all over again by the difference in fit. It looked as if she'd been sewn into it, and yet it was comfortable and didn't hinder her movement. She joined the line of officers that snaked in to shake hands with Vida Serrano. For a moment, her stomach churned as she saw the Admiral's glance pass over her, but the thought of her ship steadied her.
I am a captain. Rascal is a ship to be proud of.
When her turn came, Vida greeted her with a smile.
Lieutenant, I see you found a really good tailor. Congratulations on your return, and on your scores from the exercise. I'm expecting you to live up to your reputation.
Thank you, sir.
Esme moved on, bemused and wondering which part of her reputation the Admiral expected her to live up to. Later, as she contemplated a towering display of canapes, she realized Admiral Serrano had come up beside her.
I'm sure you realize by now that I'm not the one who cashiered you.
Yes, sir. They told me.
This is not something we want to discuss now, but let me just say that I'm genuinely glad to have you back on active duty and a member of the family.
Thank you, sir.
Those things on the second tier are deep-fried gengineered locusts with frillic. If I understood your father correctly, it's something you're not supposed to eat.
No, sir.
There was something bizarre about an admiral advising her on the food laws she'd grown up with as applied to alien cuisine.
The deviled quail's eggs, on the other hand, should be all right.
Esme had not recognized the elaborate little sculptures as originating with eggs.
Now, what do you think of Commodore Levadi?
Esme felt like a quail beneath a stooping falcon.
Well, Admiral, he's...
I know, it's unfair. What I really want to know, if you have a clue, is how my great-niece's crew is getting along with him. They can be a handful, and there's no way I can talk to them without stepping on his toes.
He had us to dinner. I happen to see a few of them that I recognized. Petrus, Meharry, Oblo.
Just the trio that concerned me. I doubt it was happenstance you saw them. How did they seem?
Fine, sir. They congratulated me on getting a ship.
And on her marriage, but this didn't seem like a good moment to mention that.
And Oblo told me Baron had been wounded.
Admiral Serrano closed her eyes a moment.
Damn. I should have thought. It was while you were out of touch and we didn't know where you were. And then I just assumed you'd hear about it at headquarters. I'm sorry. I should have made sure you knew. His ship sustained a hull breach. He was working damage control and there was an explosion. It's a long story. I'll flash it over to your console later tonight. Anyway, he was badly injured. We were all worried until they got him to Copper Mountain. The latest report is that he's come through treatment well and is in rehab now. Expected to make a full recovery. He's been written up for an award. If you want to send him a message, flash it to my office before you leave tomorrow. I'll forward it priority.
Thank you, sir.
I'm just sorry I didn't think to tell you myself before now. But I'd better go circulate, or Arash will wonder why I'm chatting you up. He did a good job while he was running this place, but he's just a wee bit sensitive. Old family rivalry, probably.
Admiral Serrano moved away to startle another young officer, Esme noticed, when she eased up beside him. Esme ate two deviled quail's eggs, allowing herself to feel relief that Baron was no longer in danger.
Ah, Lieutenant Sweeza. This is certainly more elaborate than my dinner.
But not so...
comfortable, perhaps?
Comfortable was not the word she'd been thinking of, but one did not argue with admirals. He smiled down at her, and she was aware once more of his charm.
I saw that Admiral Serrano had buttonholed you and came to the rescue. But I see you need no rescue.
No, sir. The Admiral Serrano, was just telling me that that Baron, her grandson, was safe and recovering well.
Ah, of course. You've been in transit, and the full details aren't being made available.
Levadi took three of the gengineered locusts onto his plate and popped one into his mouth.
I was just going to ask if you remembered more about that fellow priest, I think you said, from the Benignity.
The priest, sir? Mostly we talked about religion. He was curious about me because he thought Altiplanans had a branch of his religion and might have some old texts he could study.
And do you?
Sir, I don't know. I left home as a youngster, really, and the history of our beliefs wasn't ever my interest. I told him he should contact the docent for Altiplano there on Castle Rock, who could tell him more.
Well, I'll see you at the final briefing.
Levati walked off. Esme looked after him with the feeling that she had missed something, perhaps disappointed him in some way. Gellin Mahari was standing hunch-shouldered in the courtyard. The winter sun slanted in, but a razor-edged wind took all the warmth from its rays.
I hate these islands. If I have to be stuck on a planet, it should at least be somewhere you can do something.
I wish someone would invent one of those transporter rays. Straight from this to a tropical island would be nice.
You're right there, sir. But I put my name in for ship duty. What about you?
Dunno yet. I'm still on medical hold. If they hold it long enough, I might as well take my next required course while I'm here.
I was kind of hoping, sir, we might end up on the same ship.
Oh, on the grounds that you already know the worst about me?
Something like that. Yes, sir. My sister always said, if you find a Serrano, you can stand, hook up with him.
Oh, well, what kind of ship did you have in mind?
They discussed the relative merits of the different classes until the transport came. The flight to the weapons research facility was, despite the clear day, rough enough to make Baron wish he hadn't eaten breakfast. Here were no walls and towers, just low buildings on a flat, windswept space. Baron noticed that all the windows had been broken out, and some replaced with clear film and tape. He could see the black scars of fires and other destruction. But bleak as it wasn't as depressing as the prison island. He didn't mind that they'd spend the next few days here. The stout man in the funny-looking jacket and fuzzy hat that he'd noticed on the flight from the mainland stumped around the blackened soil where the aircraft had been.
Who is that?
That's the professor. He was there when they pulled me out of the water. I think he's crazy, the way geniuses usually are.
He's a genius?
They all seem to think so.
Well, the beard fits.
He's the reason Ensign Pardalt came along. She was his bodyguard when he went out to keep the mutineers from taking over the lab. I heard he asked for her again.
She didn't want to come when I asked her.
The next morning, Baron came into the mess hall, its shattered windows now covered with clear film, and looked around. One table was all civilians, talking faster than they were eating. At another, the man in the yellow jacket was sitting next to Ensign Pardalt and leaning towards her.
Does he ever take that jacket off?
Baron didn't like the look the professor gave Margue. She didn't seem to mind it, but she was young, inexperienced. Geniuses probably thought they could do whatever they wanted just because they were geniuses. He was determined not to make the mistake he'd made before and fail to understand his people. He went over and sat down beside Margue.
Morning, Ensign.
Good morning, sir.
Ah, young Serrano comes down like a wolf on the fold. Or at least the spring lamb.
Baron suspected it was a quotation, but he didn't know the source.
Excuse me?
I only meant that you, like me, chose to sit beside the most ravishing young creature here.
That's not why I...
Oh, tut, my boy. Never suggest anything less to a lady. Whatever your real motive, such as perhaps that she's got the only salt shaker on the table, it's only gallant to tell her you came in pursuit of her beauty.
Professor.
Margue looked embarrassed. Baron thought she should.
My dear, this is not about you. Unless Lieutenant Serrano thinks I'm a danger to your heart or your safety.
The professor looked at him, and Baron was suddenly aware of a very bright, very piercing glance from those gray eyes, a directness that reminded him of his grandmother. Then the professor looked down and stabbed his waffle.
I thought Ensign Pardalt might not mind some younger company.
Well, she might, if you were single. But rumor has it you're married to Esme Suiza, in fact. Or is rumor mistaken?
Yes, I'm married. And no, I'm not trying to express any interest in Ensign Pardalt, which is inappropriate to...
Baron was floundering, and he knew it. There was a wicked glint in the professor's eye, which said he was enjoying Baron's difficulty.
As the senior present...
He's not bothering me, Lieutenant. He's sort of crazy, but he's harmless.
Oh! harmless! And this is what it comes to after a life of dedication to the sweet beauties. Oh, to be called harmless.
Baron's anger evaporated for no reason he could name.
You don't look harmless.
Thanks be for small mercies. And you, young woman, do not ruin my reputation. My colleagues would tease me unmercifully if they thought I was losing my appeal. Actually, young man, you've done me a favor. They'll see your challenge as proof of my performance, not of my feathers. Now, I'll take myself off as if you'd threaten me, and you two young people can enjoy breakfast.
After the professor had gone, Margue said nothing more, eating steadily.
I'm sorry if I interrupted.
No, it's just... he's fun sometimes. He reminds me of home, in a way.
Xavier?
Yes. It's just an ag world. But we do have a university. My parents are farmers, but they're not stupid. Before the benignity came, we had a house with wide porches. And every week my parents would invite people over. We kids would play games, and the grown-ups would talk and talk.
Did you lose your home?
Oh, yes. But we were built, just not as big. In time, it will be. Dad says he can't do without a porch to sit on and watch the sky over the fields. Anyway, the professor's a lot smarter and more educated, but some of his talk reminds me of home. The teasing kind of thing.
Do you miss it?
Xavier? Sometimes. But I like the fleet, too. Sir, if you don't mind, would you introduce me to Lieutenant Sweeza sometime? I'd like to thank her personally.
Of course.
Baron didn't feel like explaining that Esme wasn't in Fleet anymore. He wondered if everyone was going to think of him as Esme Sweeza's appendage for the rest of his life, the way the family spoke of his aunt's engineer as Harris's Petrus.